It's cool to be speaking to you guys tonight. This is the message I was going to deliver at the retreat, but due to sickness, I was not there, unfortunately. So I'm sure y'all had fun. I've heard all about it. It was a good time. I missed not being there, but it is going to be over Psalm 139 again. I know you guys have already heard that quite a bit. But yeah, it's a really cool psalm just because it, like you guys have already heard, like it speaks so clearly just about like who we are as people and how much like God really knows and cares about us. So it's, you know, it's something you definitely don't want to, it's not something that you can just get sick of or overlook, because it's such an important thing. So I guess let's just pray and dive into it. So oh Father, thank you that you are a good, loving God, and that you desire goodness for each one of us, Lord. You desire for us to know you better. And God, thank you for your word, that you have just revealed yourself through your word, Lord, and you've given us your word. And help us to just have such a high and holy view of you and your word, God. Help us to not just see it as another book to read, but help us to know you through your word, God. And I pray as we go through these passages that you would speak to our hearts, and that you would just open blind eyes, God, and help us to have freedom from the things that are holding us back in our life, God, things that are strongholds. Just please do a work in us, God. So in your name, Jesus, we pray, amen. All right, so I'm just going to start by reading through a little bit of Psalm 139. Again, you guys can turn there if you have your Bibles. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Actually, we'll keep going. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Okay, so we'll stop there. So kind of the main focus of what Peter was wanting us to get at through this teaching is just the whole topic of the fearfully and wonderfully made, like really how it relates to my life and how it relates to everyone's life. I mean, it's something that is such an important thing to think about, just because who we are, like our identity, is so crucial to everything that happens in life. Everything that we do is built upon like who we think we are and what our self-value is. So this is such an important topic. So just briefly, I want to talk about a couple of things I've struggled with how God has made me. So first would be depression. I've struggled with depression for my entire life, for sure. I think there's two different parts to it. There's, on one half, there is a little bit of a biological thing. I mean, people that have depression, there is a little bit of a, like, something going on mentally or something biologically where, you know, you just feel bad a lot. But for me, a lot of it, too, is circumstantial. And just some things I wrote down that you guys might be able to relate with, which is kind of ironic because the first thing I put is feeling like I can't relate and I'm distant to people. So, which is funny because that's how we feel a lot of the times. Like we feel like we can't, like we're in our little bubble and we don't really relate and understand each other, and like no one cares and no one really knows. Like people know who you are like on the outside, but who you really are like deep down, I think a lot of times we feel very alone and lonely. Also, just feeling unloved and unvalued. I know for me, I have a desperate need to feel loved and to feel cared about by the people that are around me. And it's not something that I want. Like, I wish I could just turn that off and just be like, I don't care, like, you know, Peter. who cares, you know, whatever. But it's like, for me and for a lot of us, we have that desperate need to feel loved. So I've really struggled with just trying to get that love, you know, through people or whatever. And another thing is feeling like a failure or a lack of respect, like in my life. Like as men, we want to be respected. And I mean, even as women too, but you know, especially as men, we want to be held in high regard, you know, and there's lots of times I haven't been. So those are just some of the areas I've struggled in. But essentially what all those things did to me is because I had no say in whether I had these things or not. You know, like how we're made, it's not like you get to choose like what you want, what you don't want. So for me, what I would do is I would circle that back to God. And I would say, God, you made me depressed and it's your fault because, you know, you clearly didn't have to, but you did and you wanted to make me suffer. So my whole life, like I've struggled with that kind of mindset and this whole thing of self-hatred. And ultimately self-hatred turns into hatred towards God because hatred of yourself, God's the one who made you. So that was just my way of thinking. I don't know if you guys relate to that at all. But one passage I want to relate to that thought process is in Job. You guys can turn there if you want. This is going to be Job 10, and this is verse 8. So in Psalm 139, we had like a positive view of like who God is when he made us. Like we had a really like, oh, this is a good thing. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So as we go through Job here, we're going to see that Job says the same things, but it's not positive. So he says, your hands have made me and fashioned me in intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. Remember, I pray, that you have made me like clay. And will you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? Clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews? You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. And these things you have hidden in your heart. I know that this was with you. If I sin, then you mark me and will not acquit me of my iniquity. If I am wicked, woe to me. Even if I am righteous, I cannot lift up my head. I am full of disgrace. See my misery. If my head is exalted, you hunt me like a fierce lion. And again, you show yourself awesome against me. You renew your witnesses against me and increase your indignation toward me. Changes in war are ever with me. Why then have you brought me out of the womb? Oh, that I had perished and no eye had seen me. So I don't know if you guys can relate to this passage, but me, I totally can. You know, I've been through many suicidal times in my life, just where you reach the point where just depression and you feel so lonely, you just can't relate to anyone. And you just, ultimately, when you're not getting love, you're not getting a certain amount of love, you know, for me, I just wanted to die because, you know, there's no, for me, I wasn't finding a solution. At this time, I didn't know the love of Christ, you know, and that's really what I was trying to get is the love of Christ, but I didn't know it. So it was almost like a rational response because my soul and my heart knew that it needed love, but it wasn't getting it through the world. So in this passage, we see Job is going through the same thing because, you know, as you guys know with Job, he had all those bad things happen to him. But yet he's recalling to mind, you know, your hands have made me and fashioned me in intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. So the thing to take from all of this is that Job's viewpoint here is very negative, as was my viewpoint towards God. But the key to overcoming this self-hatred is to see that God actually has these things in your life for his glory that you're not understanding in the present time. Because these things that you see as negative aren't negative. They're negative to you and how you're perceiving it, but to God, which is the truth, it's not negative. So getting down to the facts of it and realizing, oh, even though this feels like, you know, this is the worst thing in the world and I can't relate and I'm just, you know, I hate my life, I hate everybody around me, I feel like everything's phony, you know, the key is you're not believing the truth because it's a lie. First of all, you know, God loves you. He's shown you that love through the cross, and that's where you have to take it back to see. You know, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. So to go along with that, there's just a couple notes I wrote. So it's due to a lack of understanding, lack of trust, sin and a lack of truth. So it's the trust in the truth issue. If you're not believing, I mean, if you're so concerned and you're so caught up in what you're thinking, if what you're thinking is truth, then you're never going to break free from this kind of depression. So another area that I've struggled in besides just the depression would be like emotional insecurity and anxiety. And these things have been with me. Like I'm not at a point definitely where I can say I'm through it. And even with depression, I mean, you reach a point with things where they're no longer in bondage to things. You know, that's where God wants to get you to be. You're never gonna, like, depression's never gonna 100% be gone. Whatever you hate about yourself, you know, odds are it's probably not gonna go away entirely. But the thing is, God gets you to the point where it's no longer holding you back. You're no longer in bondage. You're no longer in chains to it. So which brings me to another passage to read here. So we're gonna be in Isaiah 61. And to go along with this whole theme of just anxiety and depression and feeling in my life, just feeling so just so oppressed from these things. And like for me, when I first started coming to this church, I didn't want to talk to anybody. Like I would come into this youth group and I would just sit here and leave as soon as possible. Or I would go to the main service and not talk to anyone. Kind of similar to Peter too. Just because I felt it was very phony, and also I just had so much fear and anxiety, I didn't want to talk to anybody about what was really going on. So if you guys, you know, if you're someone that's like that, I just want to make sure you know that you're not alone. Even I used to come to this youth group for many years and just feel so, like, empty. Like, when you come here, you look around and you see all these people, you know, talking, and I would feel so just, you know, left out of things a lot. So, you know, just to relate, you know, with you guys, if that's anything you ever struggle with, you know, it's not something unique to you. But the solution is not getting friends and learning how to talk. But the solution that I had to get to the point of is realizing that, you know, the emptiness is God. The emptiness isn't, you know, involvements with people and friendships and trying to, you know, be funnier and all that kind of stuff. The emptiness is God. And then when God meets those needs, I started coming here and it was actually enjoyable because I wasn't trying to get something out of this anymore, like for me. Like, you know, you're coming here and you're already filled by Jesus and you want to serve and you want to love and you want to speak to others. And that's where the real joy comes in, you know. So just talking about that whole thing of being in bondage, let's look at Isaiah 61. So this is verse 1. It says, this is actually the verse that Jesus first quotes when he starts his ministry. So this is like a heavy hitter of scripture right here. Like this is, like the first thing Jesus ever wanted you to know about him is pretty much this. Okay, so let's go. So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So this is just a beautiful passage about this whole thing is essentially the impact of love on your life. This is what happens. This is like the fruit of knowing Jesus. And this passage has been so important for me in my life, just knowing that anytime I feel like I have a broken heart, like let's just go through this line by line. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I mean, we've all had a broken heart one way or another. Like, you know, that term just kind of sounds like a romantic thing. It doesn't have to be romantic. It can be any dream or any desire you've ever had that's just been crushed and, you know, your heart is broken over it. You know, Jesus helps you to see, you know, why is your heart really crushed? You know, should you really be that concerned with whatever crushed your heart? You know, he's always working on strengthening you. Like, you know, say it's a romantic relationship. For me, the big turning point in my life was getting dumped by a girl that I thought I was going to marry a few years ago. And up until that point, I was just kind of going on with the motions, you know, showing up to church. Not, you know, I would pray, I would read my Bible occasionally, but, you know, it was never that serious of a thing. And it took for me getting my heart broken to realize, oh, like God opened my eyes to see so many things, to see my idolatry. I mean, romantic relationships are one of the biggest sources of idolatry. And for me, my whole system of value was found, like, in this girl. Like, the fact that she cared for me and the fact that she, you know, liked me. And, yeah, I knew God loved me, but, you know, we all say that. But does that really, like, make any difference to us? And I found out, like, it definitely didn't matter to me. Like, because I was at the point where, you know, a whole bunch of other things going on, too. Like, I graduated from college that year and couldn't find a job for a very long time. You know, you graduate college and you think that the whole world is like ready for you and everyone's just going to love you and, oh, you have a degree, you know, let me give you a job. And, you know, a lot of times it doesn't work like that. And then just friends I had during that time left me too. And I had struggled with, you know, depression and anxiety my whole life. And what I did is use this relationship to band-aid everything. So what happened is when this ended, everything got exposed. And, you know, that's something for everybody to think about. You know, if you guys have a similar mindset to me, if you're someone that clings to just, in no way am I saying romantic relationships are bad, you know. All I'm saying is idolatry is such an easy thing that can happen. And just really be mindful about who it is that you're actually loving, who it is you're turning to for comfort and peace and security. You know, when things go wrong, who's the first person you talk to? You know, yes, it's good to have your spouse to talk to. Yes, it's good to have your boyfriend or girlfriend, but, you know, Jesus is your best friend. He's the only one that truly understands you. As much as it seems like that other person is secure and they love you and everything, you know, there could be a day that person just, you know, leaves you. You know, you know, for me, it took that happening to wake up. And I strongly encourage you all to just, like, really think about your relationships. But anyway, to go on here. So to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. So that's that liberty I was talking about, like, with the anxiety. It's like, yeah, I still have anxiety sometimes when things are difficult or I have a lot on my plate. But I know that through prayer, if I pray to God and I say, God, you know, I need help. I'm overwhelmed right now. I'm in over my head. You know, he's faithful to answer you, and he's faithful to give you his peace to get you through whatever it is you're going through. Actually, that reminds me of one other thing I wanted to share. So this is going to be Psalm 138. This is a passage that has helped me so much in times of anxiety for you guys that struggle with anxiety. Actually, this isn't the passage I wanted, but this is a good one too. I can't remember what the one is I was trying to find, but this is verse 3. It says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. To know that, like, your strength for getting through anxiety and fear isn't you just, you know, oh, I'm going to tough it up and I'm going to get strong. Or the other solution that I always try to do is, like, to try to not care. Just be like, oh, I'm just going to not care, and because it's not that big of a deal. But the thing is, if you're already a kind of person that struggles with anxiety, you can't turn it off. It's going to be there. The only way you can get freedom from this is through the power of Christ, is through the Holy Spirit, is how he's saying, you made me bold with strength in my soul. That strength is from the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not you just, you know, getting strong and being like, I'm going to do it. So that verse has really helped me. There's one more verse. I'll try to remember it later to give to you guys. But let's go back to Isaiah 61. So, so to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Like, I like to think of this as, like, a prison is somewhere you go when you've done something wrong. So I think of this as in terms of, like, shame. So the love of Christ sets you free from not just the anxiety and fear that you have, but also the shame, any shame that you have over anything you've done. Like, this might sound weird. I haven't really struggled with shame too much in my life. Like, I have, but I was always the kind of person that was, like, I never got in trouble that much. Like, I got good grades, you know, I tried to be a good person. So for me, I have struggled a lot more with like self-righteousness and being like, oh, you know, I've been doing all this good and look at all these people that are bad and God's still blessing them. So, you know, as God's opening my eyes, shame is becoming a bigger deal to see, oh, wow, you know, I've been so blind like my entire life to see all of this, you know, sin that's been hidden from my eyes. So that opening of the prison is referring to any kind of shame and guilt you have over your past. You know, God says he doesn't remember your sins anymore. They're gone. You know, once you confess them, if you're carrying around that baggage, all it is going to do is bring you down. God says he forgets them. He forgets the sins, so you should too. Like, honestly, it's that simple. Like, once I read that God forgets your sins, that just is like, whoa. You know, that's the nature of love. Like, it doesn't want to bring up fault. It wants to help and encourage. So the next part, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. So this is referring to the time of salvation that we have now. You know, we all really don't know, you know, when our time is going to come. You know, we're all currently in the acceptable year of the Lord. We all are living, you know. There's so many out there that are not saved, and they have their chance now, but this is saying that the day of vengeance of our God, it's coming, you know. People keep putting off getting to know God, keep putting off actually serious things, you know, it's going to catch up to them. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. So this carries on the same theme of there's been mourning in your life, you know, any kind of loss that you've suffered or just any kind of sadness that you've gone on. Jesus says he's here to comfort you. Like the what you're going through is on purpose so that God can help you see that whatever you were trusting in before, whatever those things were that you were like really clinging to, you know, he is better. And it takes those things getting taken from you sometimes, takes that mourning to see, oh, God is actually the better comforter, you know. Next, to give them beauty for ashes. So I just like to think of this as like, you know, like your life before Christ, like just being, like Aaron likes to say, the zombie days. Just like there's no, like, you know, Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. So, you know, without the power of the Spirit, all we have is ashes, all we have is nothingness. You know, anything we think was good, really the deep, like, down motive for what you're doing is selfish. So this is saying he's giving you beauty instead of all that, like, fake goodness that you used to have, like, all that junk. Like, he's actually giving you that beauty. The oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for all you guys that suffer with depression. Like, that's so huge. Like, Jesus just gives you joy. Like, joy is a byproduct of love. Like, it's not like you have to try to do some system to get happy or get so many friends or get so much money or, you know, whatever it is that's causing you depression, God's just saying, throw that out the window because joy comes from love. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is really cool, you know, since I'm into worship and stuff too, but for everybody, that the opposite of heaviness, this is saying, like, I think of heaviness as like depression. The opposite of that isn't just like not depression. The opposite of is praise. So it's like God completely turns it around and it says, like, instead of you, like, hating me, you're actually going to praise me, which is so cool because then that glorifies him and it actually produces greater joy in your heart too. You know, and God is the one doing it. It's not like you're responsible for being like, oh, like, have you guys ever gone through times where you're just, like, tired of worshiping God? Like you're just, like, things are going wrong and you show up to church and you're just like, yeah, how many things are you going to put me through? How many times are you going to sing these same songs? You know, you just feel dead inside. You know, that's oftentimes for me when that happens, it's me trying to praise God apart from a relationship with him. Remember, this is saying he's giving you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So the garment of the praise is actually from him. It's not like God's saying, you know, I want you guys, you're all going to have to worship me. You know, it's on your own power. You need to worship. He's actually giving you the praise, which is pretty awesome. Like God's just saying, I know you guys you struggle with sin so much, but I'm going to give you the ability to worship me, and it's going to be awesome. So that's really cool. Let's see. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So that's really the whole goal, what God's doing with all of our lives, like how he's made us. It's all about righteousness. It's all about conforming our minds to what how he views you and how his goodness, as opposed to the negativity that the world's trying to feed you. And in turn, that's going to give you righteousness. You'll be a tree planted of the Lord that he may be glorified, because he's the one that does everything. You know, getting out of anxiety and fear is a quick way to see like how weak you really are. You know, there's so many like different ways the world will try to convince you that, you know, you need to do this and that. I don't even know, but it's, you know, the longer you struggle with it, either you're going to go deeper into the pit, or Jesus is going to help you get out of the pit. And so that's that main passage. I was encouraged all you guys to just really meditate on that passage. Like, next time you're thinking about like, oh, what is the point of Jesus? Like, what is the point of having a relationship with him? Like, why do I come to church? What's the point of his love? Like, why does that really matter? You know, check out this passage, because this is giving you like a guide for, oh, this is the result of Jesus loving me. You know, I have joy, I have comfort, I have praise, you know, I have righteousness. So these are good things to be thinking about. Let's see. I guess I'll just leave you guys. This is kind of a short message, but I'll just leave you with one more little passage here. So this is going to be Proverbs 16, verse 3. All right, let's find it. So it says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. So if we're struggling with that fear and anxiety and depression, it's all in your mind. Really, you know, you get to that point, you realize it's just your brain that's messing with you. And what this is saying, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. What you're thinking, God wants to renew your mind. He wants to change like how you think towards things. And when you're committing your works to the Lord, that is the process of helping to renew your mind. Committing your works to the Lord, I just think of that as like, whatever you're doing, like do it for the purpose of knowing God better and glorifying him. Like, why am I here? Because I want to know Jesus, you know? Even just trying to have that mindset for whatever it is you're doing, whatever thing you're going into that you have anxiety for, just think, oh, all I want to do is just to love God through this. And it's amazing. If you guys do that, it's helped me so many times. Like, that cloud of just, like, fear and anxiety just, like, vanishes. Because it's no longer about you trying to manipulate circumstances to your advantage, or trying to, you know, get things to work out how you want. You're committing your works to the Lord and your thoughts are established. God's giving you those good thoughts. So it's been a very helpful passage for me. This is such like a rich topic. There's so many things to go over. I know sometimes when I hear messages, I can only absorb so much. So I just kind of want to keep it as a short message for you guys, because I think sometimes it's good just so we can focus more on just one thing, you know. So that's all I got.